Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, I appreciate your testimony and being here.
Good to see you.
With the committee this morning. And I appreciate and respect the role that you have and the challenge you have, and to be quite honest with you, the challenge you have defending what I think I certainly believe and others believe is frankly indefensible with regard to the line item vetoes. I want to ask just a couple of questions with regard to your role in providing recommendations to the governor. Did the governor ask you about the potential impact of the line item veto prior to his decision to line item veto 65% of the department's budget?
As I had shared at the appropriations hearings, there were discussions with the budget secretary about sort of the budget status as well as potential line item veto and considerations. There was not a direct conversation prior to with the governor. Many times since about what the implications are and what's happening, just based on the calls and inquiries and concerns that have been expressed. So many conversations since, but not with him personally prior to.
Mm-hmm. So had you been asked, is it fair to say that you would not have encouraged the governor, or you would have encouraged the governor to take the steps that he did specifically to cut 65% of the agriculture budget?
Well, there certainly would have been a little more discussion around sort of the priorities. At the end of the day, we've got to make a decision about what we fund and what we support based on the money we have available. When you look at the 65%, there were a couple of those items, as I noted earlier, that from my perspective, given how hard we negotiated on the horse race reform and Act 7 and Chairman Vogel's bill, I certainly would have preferred to see the farm show, the Animal Health Commission, and the Pennsylvania Vet Lab all funded out of the Racehorse Development Fund as was proposed and as we had negotiated for 4 months. That one particularly for me, just because it goes at the very heart of the function of the Department of Agriculture. That's one of those discussions I wish we could have had, right? Secondly, since we were in the throes of the farm show and hosting it at the time of this decision, We knew we were okay at the moment for farm show, but in the absence of the fiscal code, it's even more difficult now for me to justify transferring cost to GGO when I have the money but I don't have a fiscal code for farm show, right? I mean, these are the things that in putting all of this budget piece into context. And final point would be just on the discussion about Penn State and cooperative extension and the land grant discussion noted earlier. Certainly would have preferred a little more conversation about implications for that and what's going to happen both to the institution of Penn State Cooperative Extension, but also the connectedness of that institution to the Department of Agriculture. So would have preferred a little more dialogue about at least the transparency of implication and what's going to happen. Fast forward, I mean, these are the conversations right now that we're saying, you know, based on the testimony I've laid out, is that we have some very pragmatic issues to deal with in terms of the GGO as a result of not having some of those earlier discussions and or the actions of veto and what's going to happen here in the next couple of months at the department level.
It was widely reported last week at the conclusion of the House Appropriations Committee process that the budget secretary indicated that the line item veto really was sort of an exercise of political leverage. That wasn't the term he used, but to send a message. That seems to contrast with your testimony here today. With regard to the 65% cut to the Department of Agriculture, is it your opinion that that was not to send a message to either the General Assembly or to the agriculture community?
Yeah, all I can tell you is in my review of that is that there were some of those line items that were vetoed as a result of what had been agreed to prior, right? And that's the Racehorse Development Fund as one of those. I was not in the discussion about the leverage points there. It was simply about discussion of implication.
Mm-hmm. But my final question, and I'll turn it back, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to ask a few questions, and I'll hold the rest till later. getting really at the governor's commitment to agriculture, and I appreciate you stating the governor does in fact have a commitment to agriculture during your testimony. In the 2015-2016 budget proposal, his request to the General Assembly, and again in his proposal in 2016-2017, can you remind the committee what recommendations did the governor make with regard to funding for ag excellence, ag research, the open dairy shows, youth shows? What recommendations in the budget?
Right, so for 15-16?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were not funded.
Mm-hmm. Again, my concern is that the only consistent pattern that we've seen from this governor is a consistent decision to underfund agriculture, and then when given the opportunities to fund agriculture, has vetoed that funding. And I think for the committee and for many in the agriculture community, this is the reason, I think, for a dramatic or I think a growing lack of credibility that this administration has with regard to a commitment to agriculture. And again, I appreciate the role you have and the role you have in defending some of these decisions. And it's certainly my hope that we, as Republicans and Democrats in the Senate and in the House, will work together to move this process forward.